Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Mr. Shepard. My name is Jack Crawford. I was appointed pursuant to the Criminal Justice Act to represent the defendant appellant, Jimmy Alexander, both at the district court level and on appeal. The sole issue presented by the defendant is the reasonableness of the 57-month sentence imposed by the Honorable David Hamilton of the district court in Indianapolis. It is defendant's contention, Your Honor, that this is a matter of first impression, and that being that the categorical policy-based rejection of the United States Sentencing Guideline for theft or fraud contained in USSG Section 2B1.
Why isn't that exactly what Spears says district judges are entitled to do? Reject guidelines categorically and on policy grounds.
Spears said it applied to crack cocaine guidelines, Judge.
It didn't say only. It just said district judges can reject guidelines on policy grounds. Is there any decision that we have rendered since saying that Spears is limited to crack cocaine?
No decision limiting, Judge. In fact,
is there any decision in any other circuit saying that Spears is limited to crack cocaine?
No.
All right. So you're basically asking us to put our heads on the chopping block and tell the Supreme Court that it didn't mean what it said.
Judge, Section 2B1.1 is different from the crack cocaine guidelines. It's different from the child pornography guidelines, which in Hufstadler this court found to be not empirically based. It is different from the illegal reentry guidelines, which Judge Posner found in this court in Aguilar Huerta to be not empirically based. It's different because the theft fraud guidelines were the product in 2001 of a careful examination by the United States Sentencing Commission, careful study performing the fundamental institutional job of the Sentencing Commission. Spears, Kimbrough, all these other cases said the Commission didn't do its job with regards to all those other kinds of cases.
They didn't say anything remotely like that. They said a district judge was free to disagree with the guidelines because the district judge had a different sentencing policy from the Commission. It didn't say the district court was at liberty to find the guidelines flawed. As you may know, most judges continue to follow the crack cocaine guidelines. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. What the court said is that judges don't have to agree with them. Now, that may be right or it may be wrong. Kimbrough disagreed with the decision of this circuit, but I do think our job is to carry out the decisions of the Supreme Court.
I think the economic crime guidelines are so different, Your Honor, that I'm asking this court to put its head on the chopping block, and to say that these guidelines were carefully studied, that the Commission exercised its characteristic institutional
role. You agree, don't you, that if, just guidelines aside, that if you steal $10,000 from a bank that you work for, and then somebody else steals $10,000 from a homeless shelter or something, that the second crime is a little more serious, don't you think?
No, I don't agree.
This fella purloining funds from the Hurricane Katrina victims, in effect, it's pretty bad stuff, I think.
The reason I don't agree, Your Honor, is because the Commission applied a loss basis for economic crimes. Being totally the nature of the victim, the nature of the theft, according to the guidelines, is not overly significant, although there is an enhancement here for theft from emergency relief funds. But the Commission said the fundamental principle that we're going to judge economic crimes is on a basis of the amount of the loss. This came from the Enron cases in 2001 when the Commission redid the theft guidelines. And the Commission was receiving a great deal of criticism that the high end of the economic crime guidelines were too lenient, and that the Enron people received too lenient sentences because of the it didn't take into account the severity of the loss. And the commission said, we're going to decide. We're going to continue to apply a loss basis for determining how serious the theft is. We're not going to look at whether or not the defendant stole from the poor box of the church versus stole
from... Why can't a judge look at that?
Because, Judge, that's a fundamental disagreement by Judge Hamilton. Judge Hamilton obviously has a very sincere, and I don't say not well-grounded, belief that theft of Katrina relief funds or theft from any emergency government relief fund is more serious than theft from a bank.
Do you disagree with that?
Personally,
guidelines
no.
Aside.
I don't personally disagree with that, but I don't think the district court judge can say the commission disagrees with it, and I don't think the district judge can say, even though in this case, different from crack cocaine, different from child pornography, in this case it looks like the commission really studied this issue, and in rules in Amendment 714 and 719 in 2008, the commission specifically looked at theft from emergency relief funds and gave a two-level enhancement only based on that. And so I don't think the district judge can say, I have a personal opinion this is much more serious than theft from a bank. And so I'm going to sentence at the high end and almost double what the guidelines would provide because of this fundamental categorical difference of opinion that I have. Because, Judge, what it leads to then is exactly what the guidelines were intended to prohibit, disparity in sentencing.
Well, the guidelines haven't eliminated disparity in sentencing.
I know, Judge. That was their intent. And that was their legislative instruction from the Congress.
23 years they've been around.
But, Your Honor,
it sounds like you would have agreed with the dissent in Booker, but that's not where we are. Booker came out as it did, right? And Kimbrough came out as it did, and Spears came out as it did. You can't make an argument that just asks us to examine this de novo. You've got to couch your argument in terms of what the Supreme Court has told us, and that's what I've been asking you to do.
Here's what the Sixth Circuit judge did in United States versus Herrera-Zuniga.
What the Supreme Court has told us. There may be some judges on the Sixth Circuit who are confused about that issue, but would you talk about the Supreme Court, please?
I don't think the Supreme Court extended the Kimbrough reasoning to all guidelines. I think Kimbrough was relegated to the crack cocaine guidelines because there was so much controversy over the 100-to-1 ratio for crack cocaine that the Supreme Court said there's no empirical approach here. The commission...
I'm sorry. You can go ahead, but that's just not what the Supreme Court said in Kimbrough. It didn't say the problem is lack of empirical support for the Sentencing Commission's decision. Not its rationale.
I understand, Your Honor, but the Sixth Circuit did appear to say that in Herrera-Zuniga.
A couple of circuits said that after Kimbrough, and they got slammed in Spears.
I understand that, Judge. I guess I just read Kimbrough differently than Your Honor does, and I'm asking the court to find that this sentence was unreasonable because of the court's failure to follow any instruction from the guidelines whatsoever.
It seems what you're trying to say is instead of comparing it to a bank and whatever the victims are, that you're saying that it really wasn't stolen from the victims. It was stolen from the government. A big pool of money, and they got some of it. They didn't pick somebody's pocket. I think that's what you're trying to say, but I'm not sure. Anyway, it's whatever we're, you or I are trying to say, it's the district court that said it, and that's what we have to examine, and whether or not that was something way out of line.
I'm sorry, Judge, if that was implied. I didn't mean to say that. As one of the judges asked, I think I conclude on a personal level with Judge Hamilton. But I think he's obligated to respect the loss-based ratio set forth in those guidelines because those guidelines were the product of the institutional characteristic commission approach to setting forth guidelines. And I notice my time is about up. I'd like to reserve some time for rebuttal.
Okay, counsel. Thank you. Mr. Shepard.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mr. Crawford. My name is Brad Shepard. I represent the government of the United States, both here and at the trial court level below. Your Honors, Mr. Alexander's sentence of 57 months is the product of an individualized determination under 18 United States Code, Section 3553A factors, and therefore reasonable and not an abuse of discretion. This sentence was not merely the product of a disagreement with how one factor was treated in Guideline 2B1.1, but rather it was an analysis of Mr. Alexander as a whole, which included not only the nature and circumstance of the offense, but also the atrocious criminal history of Mr. Alexander and how that impacted the other 3553A factors, which were the need for deterrence and the need to protect the public.
If you had an incremental increase in criminal history categories, what would he have been in?
I'm glad Your Honor pointed that out. I think Judge Hamilton below also did that analysis, and in the sentencing transcript he said he would be at either
9.
I think he had an 11 or a 12, but it would have been somewhere in that nature, Your Honor. And it wasn't only the high number that troubled the district court. It was also the sheer variety as the district court.
How is it possible to get into what would amount to criminal history category 12? That amounts to saying that a man has lived his entire life, he gets convicted endless times, and the courts never put him away. So unless you were given the chance to commit more crimes, you can't build up a criminal history that long. Is that what happened?
I believe it was, Your Honor.
Career of being slapped on the wrist?
I believe that's exactly what happened, and as the district court below noted, that the only way you can accumulate this number of points is to essentially being committing crimes every day you're not in jail as an adult. And that was one of the reasons that Judge Hamilton below gave for the sentence that he imposed.
Right. On that understanding, of course, the sentence is justified by incapacitation rather than the particular character of the crime.
I would agree, Your Honor. Your Honors, I'll just end on this point. I think that the court doesn't even need to consider the arguments that Mr. Crawford is making, because when you look at this, which is what the district court did, as a whole, under the 3553A factors, the nature and circumstance of the offense, that of Hurricane Katrina fraud, the criminal history of the defendant, in this case 26 criminal history points, the sheer variety of crimes that he has committed, the need to protect the public, all show that the district court did not abuse its discretion and therefore that the sentence was reasonable. If there are no further questions, I'm finished with my argument.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard. Anything further, Mr. Crawford?
If I may, Your Honor.
Judge, in Spears, talking about Kimbrough, the court said in a per curiam opinion, our opinion, meaning the opinion in Kimbrough, said, however, that the crack cocaine guidelines present no occasion for elaborative discussion of this matter because those guidelines do not exemplify the commission's exercise of its characteristic institutional role. Kimbrough, this is Supreme Court in Spears talking about Kimbrough, Kimbrough thus holds that with respect to the crack cocaine guidelines, a categorical disagreement with and variance from the guidelines is not suspect. I really think the court was saying if the commission didn't do its job, as it didn't do with crack cocaine guidelines, the judge can have a categorical disagreement and totally decide to impose his personal penal theory. But if the commission did its job, then
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Crawford, and we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and your assistance to the court as well as your client.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is taken under advisement.